Hey guys, Ben from Big Head Mode here. Look, as a special treat for you guys, we've got a one-off podcast recording of our monthly gaming talk show bonus stage. This is from last year. We did a special Oz Comic Con after show, and we were lucky enough to be joined on the show by Senator Scott Ludlam from the Australian Greens and Dante Basco, voice of Zuko from Avatar The Last Airbender, Rufio from Hook. You know him. Come on, you know him. So look, enjoy the show. Just bear in mind, it was performed on stage. We've edited out some of the more visual elements, but we hope you enjoy it. Bonus stage. Bonus stage. Bonus stage. Bonus stage.
How are you? Thank you. Guys, are you excited? Who's here? Everybody excited for bonus stage number 8? Holy smokes. Everybody here went to Comic-Con today? One person very late. No in the front? Good day. Good time. Good time. Yeah, guys, Comic-Con was great. Did anybody else... There was this guy... I talked about it today. We had a show. There was a guy going around with a KFC bucket on his head. Terrifying. Like, terrifying. I'm not sure who he was, but I was scared to my very core. But it has been a really exciting couple of weeks, guys, for Australian film fans. Has anybody else been playing Mad Max? Came out this month. Yeah, it's always fun to see like an Australian film or anything that just has a lot of Australian presence in a video game. It's really exciting. And it makes me wonder, you know, what AAA titles can we expect next, you know? Should we be getting ready for a Telltale Games based on Babe? Baram Yu, the sheep will remember that. You know? Or is it too much to expect a retelling of The Castle in Phoenix Wright style? It's the vibe. Take that! So some things to maybe look forward to on the horizon there. But maybe the most interesting announcement in the last month for anybody following the news is that Ubisoft are making a theme park. Has anybody heard about Ubisoft making a theme park? Yeah, it's pretty exciting news. Now, I was pretty skeptical. You know, I was pretty skeptical at first, but when you take a look at it, it's not all that bad, you know. But before we get into some of the details, what game would you most like to see in a Ubisoft theme park? Just yell it out, guys. Yell it out. Yeah, the Animorphs might be in there. The idea of it is it's going to be a bit like Disneyland, but it'll be divided into sort of theme worlds, and each world will be further highlighted into certain games. So there's an Assassin's Creed world, which sprawls over the theme park, where you can hide in haystacks, sing sea shanties, and there's even an amazing recreation of a district of Paris during the Revolution, but you can't take any of your friends there. And all the actors are British, so a bit strange. But, you know, it could be good, guys, it could be good. The Assassin's Creed area is designed to be constantly updated to keep up with the release of new Assassin's Creed games. So it'll only be open for 1 week of the year, and then it'll be closed down and begin renovations for the next Assassin's Creed game. So, you know, a lot of fun. There's also the much-anticipated Beyond Good and Evil world. Are there any Beyond Good and Evil fans here in the crowd? Yeah, all right. It's been announced. It's been announced. Like, they've built the world, but it might not be there where the park opens. Or, you know, at least for a couple of decades. But, you know. They have announced, though, that on the day of launch there will be a zombie-themed world to show that they do indeed have their finger on the pulse. Although a spokesperson for Ubisoft said that there will only be male zombies, as according to an ancient necromancy scroll, female corpses are notoriously difficult to reanimate. Thank you, guys. Necromancy joke. But Far Cry will also be making an appearance in a world that can spontaneously combust at any time. Even the mere suggestion of fire will just send an inferno trailing into the sky. Lighting a cigarette? Fire. Skinning a tiger? Fire. Buying some chips at the kiosk? You better bet that's a fire. Ubisoft really wants to give the theme park goers a chance to really feel like they're living inside the games they love so much. There's little touches that really show how much they care. So, for example, the gift shop, the door is permanently locked, but you can climb up to a third floor window and inside pilfer what you would like to take. Like any Ubisoft game, you'll be overwhelmed by the sheer number of activities there. You can climb up a tower, climb down again, collect floating pieces of paper, collect floating feathers, collect floating flags. I mean, really, the choices are endless. It's a huge theme park with so much to offer. No maps, though. No maps. If you want to see where you have to go, you actually have to scale a massive tower. It might sound daunting, but apparently the 500-foot plummet to a hay bale is actually quite exhilarating and completely safe. So, guys, are you ready to start the show? Oh, boy. We have a jam-packed, spectacular show for you guys tonight. Joining us on the lounge, we have Green Senator Scott Ludlam. We have tech advocate and all-round legend Ray Johnston. And to help us reclaim our honour, we have actor Dante Basco. But before all of that, please welcome to the stage a man who was able to permanently bend fire to his chin. Please welcome my co-host, Ben O'Brien.
Thanks for that, Carla. Thanks for that. Decades of learning. I got that. Very clever.
Yeah. Ben, how you been?
Yeah, good. Oz Comic Con was fun, hey?
Oh, boy. Hey. Boy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Old Buckethead. There was some amazing cosplay there as well.
Yeah, it was incredible. Did anybody see some... You know, sometimes you see cosplay and you're like, have I been transported into a fantasy world and everything? I've lost touch with reality?
Did I see Deadpool wearing a silly hat? What's up with that? You know?
It's
you don't
one
see
of the
that
two.
At every... It's one of the two. Every con event. Someone Deadpool with bunny ears? Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really great. Really great.
Like, if I had one complaint, and I do know there are organisers of the event in the audience, I'm sorry, but it's that it wasn't Metal Gear Solid 5. You know? Am I right? Eh? Yeah, no, apparently.
A lot of fans of Metal Gear Solid 5.
I've been playing a lot of Metal Gear Solid 5, Carl.
Metal Gear Solid 5.
Now, I know... I mean, I've detected something in your tone there, and a little bit of sarcasm. You don't know the series very well, do you?
Oh, Ben, I'm the biggest Metal Gear Solid fan that you ever known.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, because I was going to talk about it a bit specifically for you, knowing that you didn't know anything about it, but since you're a fan... What's it about?
Oh, you got all the characters. You got Metal Gear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that real solid chick.
Real solid chick. Actually.
You're fighting all the time, and you never stop until you do.
That's.
You know, and that's.
I can't take issue with any of that.
Yeah, you gotta keep giving it your all, and if you don't, then the world, you know, where is it? So, great times, Metal Gear Solid.
So what I might do is I might just take that and then embellish a little bit, right?
Oh, sure.
Because I know there are a lot of people out there who have seen the marketing for Metal Gear Solid 5 and seen the reviews. Like, I got a 10 on IGN, which is crazy, and gone, it seems like too dense a series to get into. I don't know if I can play it. Well, you're wrong, okay? As far as stories go, it couldn't actually be simpler, all right? So would you like a crash course in Metal Gear Solid 5?
Oh, I don't know, Ben. I already know everything there is to know.
All right, well, just for argument's
sake. But indulge
me.
I'll indulge you.
So basically, you're just a soldier and a spy named Big Boss.
Metal Gear.
Right?
Big Metal Boss Gear,
yeah,
Ben.
Yeah. Pretty simple, soldier. You're out for revenge, right, against the mysterious group who attacked you 9 years ago. The name of that group is Cypher, and it's run by Major Zero, who, of course, was in command of Big Boss's first mission, Operation Snake Eater.
Classic.
Although Big Boss was known just as Snake then, not to be confused with the other Snake, because there's also Solid Snake.
Oh, of course not.
Liquid Snake.
Oh, all the snakes.
Solidus Snake, who actually they're cloned children of him. In fact, Solidus Snake later became President of the United States, but that's a different
game. And that's based on the game Snake from the Nokia game.
Yeah, of course. Anyway, so just a classic revenge story that involves giant flying whales and flaming men riding unicorns.
Like the stories of old.
Now, I know it might look like I've just taken some story from that series out of context to make it look more ridiculous than it really is, but that is actually a flying whale. And that is a flaming demon man on a unicorn. And that is literally in the first half an hour of Metal Gear Solid 5. So if you're worried about being confused, just don't worry. You'll be as confused as literally anyone else playing that game. Another thing that I know has put a lot of people off, and you particularly, Carlo, is a character called Quiet. Now, some people got this crazy idea into their head that there's something sexist about Quiet. Right? It's crazy. It's actually crazy.
I wonder why they thought that.
It's crazy. I mean, she, in a combat scenario, she's dressed totally tactically, right? But Hideo Kojima came out very early on when this character was first revealed and was like, no. Here's what he said. I know some people are concerned about Quiet, but don't worry. I created her character as an antithesis to women characters who appeared in past fighting games who were excessively exposed. Quiet doesn't have a word, will be teased in the story as well. Once you recognise the secret reason for her exposure, you'll feel ashamed. Ashamed of your words. Shame on you for daring to question that.
For daring to
right? And it's hard to argue with him when he's made of Lego. So, you know, to give him his credit, he's absolutely right. There is quite a strong narrative reason in the game as to why Quiet looks the way she does. And if you want to know, here it is. Quiet is infected with a parasite that grants her superhuman powers, but it means she has to breathe through her skin, so she has to be naked at all times. All right?
Shame.
All right. Shame on you. If she wears clothes, she could actually suffocate. All right?
Thanks for clearing that up, Kojima.
So there is a reason. It's just an absurd one that he's made up to make her naked.
But by that logic, isn't she partially suffocating all the time?
Like... Yeah, apparently, like, it's okay. She can just wear, like, real sexy cutoffs. That's fine. You know, but she's got to rip holes in them, obviously, to let all that sun in.
For the air.
I know. I mean, they've quite literally made her allergic to clothes. I feel like they could have. It would have been less ridiculous if they'd just said, "Oh, she's a nudist.
Yeah,
she just likes dressing like that."
That is one of those examples. Like, people are going to think I'm a sexist for allergic to clothes.
You know what? People are going to
feel ashamed.
People are going to feel real dumb when they realise that her whole family were murdered by pants and comfortable jumpers. Yeah, they'll feel pretty silly. But look, don't worry. Don't worry, because they made up for it, right? She has a totally savoury, unlockable costume covered in blood. Which, when you think about it, by their own logic, she takes in nutrients. She takes in water and light by having it touch her skin.
Like photosynthesis.
Exactly like photosynthesis, Carla. Well done, you. So, you know,
our
clothes,
secret word of tonight.
Clothes, not good. Forcing her to drink blood through her skin... A-okay, all right? But no, look, now that we've put that to bed, all right, there's one aspect that I think everyone needs to play this game for. It has an image, I think, of being a stealth game, Metal Gear Solid, right?
And oh, yeah, I love stealth.
I mean, I don't have to tell this guy. At the heart of Metal Gear Solid isn't stealth. At its very core, the essence of the gameplay of Metal Gear Solid 5 is strapping balloons to things. That's the whole point. It's literally the whole point of that game. You have this thing called the Fulton device, which you use to extract things. So you can use it to balloon out supplies, enemy soldiers, and, well, there's this. What's a cute dog doing in the middle of Afghanistan?
It's a puppy.
wait for it. There we go. So honestly, it made me realise how many games could actually benefit from something like this, you know? I mean, catching Pokemon would be a cinch. What if in Assassin's Creed, instead of a hidden blade, you just had a little hidden balloon? Jump out of a hay bale, launch a guard. I mean, options are endless.
There's two.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they're endless in how much fun they would be.
Yeah.
You know? Because there's a lot of Pokemon.
Oh, the fun, Ben.
There's a lot of Pokemon out there.
Now, our next guest has travelled a long way here, quite a long way, for what we're expecting to be a regular segment where we discuss what's making him mad this week. Please welcome to the stage, Mad Max Rockensky. Woo!
Oh, here he is. Hey, Max, how are ya?
Sorry I was late. The buses never arrive when they say they will. Schedules have let me down time after time after time. I try and silence the cacophony in my head. The voices telling me, should have caught a taxi.
Yeah.
Should have left earlier. Should have walked.
Yeah. Uber's pretty
good. I take a bike.
But then the bus came.
My bike.
So I got on that. Fuck, I forgot to tap off. Oh. But I'm here now, so. How you going?
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Really,
sorry, we didn't offer you any water or something, obviously.
Yeah, I need water. I do need water.
Well, we don't have any. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, we should have offered you, but we didn't.
It would have been nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got some water, but it's...
You don't want to drink it.
It's mine. It's kind of...
I'm so dehydrated, guys.
So, Max, what's What's making you mad this month?
You mean apart from everybody thinking my game is shit? You guys didn't think Mad Max was shit, did you?
No, it was great.
A lot of laughs, Max.
All the scrap. You collect a lot of scrap in that game.
That's a lot of scrap. It all counts.
Scrap Opus, huh? Yeah?
Yeah, okay.
That's yeah. A car. Yeah.
No, it's a great game.
Okay, well, what's making me mad this week? God, there's a lot. I know. Whiny Twitter idiots on Twitter complaining about dumb things. That's what's making me mad.
Yeah, do you get a lot of that in the wasteland?
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe how much Twitter there is.
Yeah, in the wasteland.
In the wasteland.
God. That's why they're so angry, I guess.
Yeah. You don't have to be on Twitter, Max, you know.
It's just, look, no matter where you are, you bloody hear somebody complaining about something. Look at this. This level with rising water in Ori Blind Forest may be the reason I don't come back so stupidly hard. If you think that's hard, check out this water level from Mario. My life is as hard as the water level in the TMNT game for NES. Now, admittedly, that's a hard level, especially if you're going through the electrified coral. Yeah, water levels are hard. What I wouldn't give for a water level. What I wouldn't give for a water anything. You know, so much water, there's too much water, it's so hard. Do you know how dehydrated I am? You know, if I want to drink something, I've got to drink it from a dead dog's bladder. I can't remember the last time I took a piss and it wasn't brown. I am so dehydrated.
Wow.
Again, I'm really sorry about the water.
Yeah, it sounds tough.
I mean, boo-hoo, Mario. If you don't have a firepower by the time you get to the water level, you're defenseless. Fuck. Yeah, how are you going to defend yourself against a squid? What are you going to do? I am so bloody dry, guys. You wouldn't believe it.
No.
You know, there is more moisture in a Weet-Bix than in my body. And 9 out of 10 people agree Weet-Bixes are fucking dry. Sultanas look at me and they think, fuck, that guy's dry. People say, why are you always so serious, Max? You're always so serious. I'm not serious. I'm actually very funny. I'm just very, very dry.
So what else is making you mad, Max?
I'm not done with Twitter, Carlo.
All right.
Goddamn Gran Turismo 6 is a friggin' hard game. Forza 6 is hard. Frowny face. Frowny face? Frowny face is how I wake up in the morning. Frowny face is a good day. Oh, it must be so hard to drive on a sealed track when on a constructed path that no one's trying to kill you on. Have you ever driven through a sandstorm that the mummy and the mummy would be scared shitless from? Do you know what a sand tsunami is? I do. I know. Driving in the rain is quite hard. Oh. Fuck off! Makes me mad, guys.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, surely, I mean, you're a pretty tough guy. Surely you can...
What does that mean? What does that even mean? A man is as tough as a man needs to be. A woman's as tough as a woman. What are you talking about?
All right, well, I just, you know, like... I mean, you're an action hero. Look, you know, you've got a shotgun.
Are you joking, mate? A hero? I'm just trying to survive.
Cool, yeah. I mean, that sounds pretty heroic.
Well, yeah, people need their heroes, Max.
Look, show me a hero.
Metal Gear Solid, Phantom Pain has, you know, it's a recent game that's come out, and Snake in that
Snake?
Is pretty...
Snake? Who even is Snake? Dr. Seuss? Dr. Red Snake? Blue Snake? Who is Snake? If Snake wants to, if Snake's in trouble, first sign of trouble, he'll get... airlifts to drop things off. If I look into the sky, you know what comes out? Fire. Spears. War boys with breath that stinks of paint. Fucking I. Phantom Pain. More like Phantom Menace, and that movie was shit.
Well, Lara Croft.
Yeah. Crofty. Now I'll be the first to admit that she's bloody tough. But Crofto, look, she's more... Look, I got shot in the knee by a feral, and I haven't been able to run since, but she's not a hero. She's raiding tombs, mate.
Right.
People are buried in those tombs. She's just like taking the stuff from the tombs in her raids. Look, if she wants to retire any day she wants, she goes home to a mansion, live in wealth and prosperity. She's got a job as an architect. The people that Well, Indiana Jones is, yeah, same job as that guy. You think I can do that? Nah, not me, mate. I got shot in the leg by a feral.
What about Batman?
Batman.
Surely you can see the hero, you know, he fights crime.
Patrolling the city streets from thugs and lunatics during the night. Millionaire party boy during the day. I'm Max Rokitansky, 24/7. I don't even get a lunch break. I tell you, Gotham City, yeah, sounds real tough. It's a city. Try living in the wasteland.
No, these are all good points.
Mm. Batman. That's what I think of Batman.
Spit on Ben?
Yeah. Yeah, I did, because I was mad. My body just went from 3% water down to 2% water.
I mean, you can take it back if you want.
You laugh, but I thought about it. Anyway, I've got a limp home, so my Opel card's actually run out of money. So
we give you full permission to pilfer some from the audience on the way out. Mad Max, thank you very much.
Yeah, and
Mad
if anyone's Max. Got any scrap,
yeah. I'll, angry, very angry.
Very angry, man.
Very salty. And, yeah. Did you actually like Mad Max?
Did not care for it.
No.
Okay. Thought he was gone.
Guys, our next guest has been flat off her feet all day at Oz Comic Con, so we decided to drag her on stage tonight as well. Please welcome tech aficionado and all-around Wonder Woman, Rae Johnson. Literally Wonder Woman.
Introduce me as Wonder Woman every month and I just get up and be normal and now this happens.
Yeah, it's a great Trinity costume.
You're so far away.
I know, I just realized that as I sat down. I just look, we've got a microphone, I'm just preparing for later.
I'm delirious already, excellent.
Well, Ray, how was Comic-Con today?
Oh, fantastic, yeah. Early start, a lot of laughs, a lot of fun, a lot of panels and workshops and eating pasta next to MacGyver in the green room, and this is my
typical
life.
Day, right?
Yeah, just
then he
uses
that pasta to build a bridge.
Didn't make any of those jokes.
Didn't you missed the opportunity, right?
I really did. I
like to think that
it.
Like he was in the room when someone desperately needed like some sort of DIY work, and he's just kind of like, I'm just trying to enjoy my pasta.
Well, actually,
every time.
I did hear a bit of a story today about a friend of mine who was actually on a plane that started flooding, which sounds like something that can't happen, but apparently can. Water started coming down the aisle, and the pilot, or whoever was making the announcement, made a bit of a joke about needing MacGyver, and he was actually on the plane.
I can't help you. I'm so sorry, guys.
And it's just
it was all a lie. Well, we had a few news stories, Ray, that we wanted to run by you.
Yeah,
just
sure.
Talk to you about. Now, I know you're across a lot of these. There's a game that you might have heard of, which funnily enough, involves cleaning
one.
And scrubbing naked men in the shower.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
Has anybody heard of this game? Came out this month.
You Here's should totally watch this.
Yep. It's called Rinse and Repeat. I just want to know why he's wearing his aviators in the shower.
I need some love on my back.
He needs some love on his back.
It's a good lather. It's a good lathering.
Too rough, dude. Too rough, dude. Too rough. Like, Ray, is this going to be the next Minecraft?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recommend this for all children everywhere. Someone's recording this, right? You're going to chuck this on mornings? Yeah, well, you know, this game's brought to you by the guy who made a game about having sex with your car, so...
And how?
Mass Effect 2, I think, as well, that one was.
This clip actually goes for quite a long time. You can just keep scrubbing this guy's back until he's like, yeah, okay,
trust
cool,
me, I know,
I'm done.
I have all 6 minutes on my laptop, and I had to edit that out of it.
But it's not like as though you can just hang in the shower and keep scrubbing people's backs. You've got to actually wait for the next gym session.
I'm willing to take, Ray.
You've got to actually wait for the next session of people to finish in the gym before you can scrub someone else's back.
Yeah, there's a randomly generated timetable of events happening in the gym, so you go, I have to wait till 2, and then I can scrub people coming from a yoga class.
Yeah. If I wait till after spin cycle, there'll be more sweaty guys that need back rubs, so they'll be really tense.
The fact that this went through someone's head, let alone got made into a game, is astounding, and I think you know, it's a really good sign of where we're heading in the future of video games.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll talk about that next with Scott Ludlam. That's the future of Australian games.
This is what you're pushing for funding for, Scott.
Seriously, though, aren't games great, everyone? We all love games. But speaking of Australian games, there was another Aussie game.
Okay, so do you guys remember California games? You know, yeah, you go skate and surf and all those cool things. Did you know that we had an Aussie version of this? It was definitely not made for an Australian market, though. It's probably the most heavily racist game I've come across towards Australians, anyway. Some of the actual sports... you had to do in this game, one of them was literally shooting tin cans thrown from the back of a ute. And if you won, the dog threw up.
Oh, God.
It's like real life. It's so on point.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Listen, I just love listening to the music.
Oh.
Doesn't it fill you with pride? Aussie Safari.
It's terrible.
Yeah, this was, I mean, is this a game that you would play, Ray, if this was released today? Say there was an HD Collector's Edition, Game of the Year, whatever, re-release. Would you play it?
No.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I feel like
absolutely
I'd download
not.
It and then I probably wouldn't
I think I can get by in my gaming schedule without slotting in some belly flopping into the Sydney Harbour.
Yeah, there
just
is
quietly.
A game, Belly Flopper. Or
belly Whacker. Yeah. And throwing boomerangs and all sorts of really strange, horrible things. Dry boat racing. This is awful. Did anyone here play this?
Every state has people except Queensland.
I want to know if anyone played this.
Did anybody play this game?
No.
No.
Good work,
no.
Guys.
You did well.
Because we would have asked you to leave. That's what would have happened.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the last... there's belly whacking. Also probably the...
and drowning. Awesome.
Yeah, they say you can still hear his ghost.
Oh, there's
if
a little
you,
shark. It's going to eat
you. Look, we had one more story as well. That's less.
We do. we've actually got a story that is about some good things
that's
that we're doing
good.
With video games.
I promise, Scott, games can be good.
Yes.
So, Ray, why don't you tell us about this game that actually was made to help
with
kids who have hearing problems?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you all might know when you're tested. At birth to see if you've got any hearing loss or any problems. But the next time that any of those sorts of things are kind of picked up is when you're already at school and there might be problems and you're already thinking that, you know, I might be a bit dumb. No, you could just have a hearing problem. Sound Scouts is actually a game developed to target the kind of preschool market. You are playing as Patch, this cool little dog up here, and you need to use... sound in order to find the ranger and solve the mystery. It's a pretty basic story, but it's using different sounds, and if you can't actually hear them, if it's not detected, the game recommends that you go and see someone and get things tested. So it's a really kind of fun interactive way to pick up these hearing problems in kids, because you've got middle ear infections, you've got, you know, brain problems, you know, there's all sorts of reasons other than just bang hearing loss as a child as to why this can happen.
And they're actually quite widespread in Australia, and particularly in regional areas and among Indigenous students and in the Cook Islands. It's a pretty serious thing. Like a lot, it's attached to a lot of learning disabilities, children being told constantly that they can't understand things, but it's really a hearing issue.
Yeah, it's a significant issue, and this is a game that is really targeting that. It's written down the bottom. It's created in collaboration with the National Acoustics Laboratory, so it's not just a dev that's gone, hey, I'm going to put sounds in kids' ears. It's actually something that's developed clinically, but still fun. So
yeah, and it's pretty hardcore. There's programs in it that if it identifies certain problems, it can train your hearing back to where it should be.
Yeah, there's like 12-week programs you can do so that, you get your hearing back a little bit or learn how to use it a bit better.
And it was interesting, the developer of this game was saying that she had a plumber come around and he was telling her that he had quit school because of hearing problems. And she said, you've got to play this game. So she made this plumber sit in her lounge room for 4 hours and play this video game, and he identified that he had a hearing problem. And he was like, it just changed his whole life because he spent his whole life thinking... he just had a learning disability.
So that's more the kind of thing you're funding, Scott.
There we go.
Yeah, and all Aussie developed as well, which is extraordinary.
Yeah.
So, guys, it's very exciting to bring on our first ever international guest at Bonus Stage.
He's an actor of the screen and voice. You might know him as the voice of Prince Zuko in Avatar: The Last Airbender, or the Red Mohawk Lost Boy himself, Rufio. Please welcome Dante Basco. Dante, thanks for coming on.
No problem. Cheers, you guys. How you guys doing?
Yeah, really well. How are you enjoying Australia so far?
Amazing. I love Australia. I've been here a few times. It was the first time in Sydney and Brisbane, so it's been pretty good.
Yeah, we put on the best weather possible we could.
The weather is kind of shit, but but it's all right.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
I'm just saying.
I didn't do it.
Well, you are the one with the weather machine, Ben, so.
But even without with the weather, I found all those underground like walkways, and now I feel like a superhero. Stay, I'm dodging raindrops. I'm in the underground. I know where I'm. I feel like I run this town. I've been here 3 days, and I run this town. I'm running for mayor. I don't even have mayors out here. What do they have?
Platform is avoiding rain.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, umbrellas do that as well, I guess, but, you know.
True.
Or waterbending, eh? Segway.
But I have leather wingtips on. Umbrella's not protecting that.
Well, okay. Well, Dante, it is really exciting to have you on the show. Like, we are, Ben and I, and I'm assuming Ray as well, are big fans of The Last Airbender.
Thank you.
There are so many Rufio and Zuko fans. I think I've had more people yell Rufio to me in the last week than,
really?
Surprisingly, ever in my life.
You have been wearing around a mohawk, though.
That is true, know, so. And yelling bangarang constantly. But, like, I mean, you were quite young when you did that film. What's that been like, just having all these people who've grown up?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, you don't know when you do it. I was 15 when I did the film, and actually next year is going to be its 25-year anniversary.
Wow. Mm.
Which probably makes a lot of us feel old.
Yeah.
A lot of us.
Instantly.
But so for most of my life, even though I've done other roles and had a, you know, fortunate to be in Hollywood a lot of years, you know, I've been Rufio for most of my life now, which is crazy, right? Mm. Which is cool. I mean, every actor goes to Hollywood hoping that there's a role that they can do that they'll be remembered for, and you know, hopefully you get a cool role. So I'm definitely lucky. And then again, later in my career, to have a character like Prince Zuko. So
yeah, and I mean, Prince Zuko is somebody that has become like a huge figure in the Avatar, like for, at least for Avatar fans.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely as iconic as Rufio had become for one generation. For this new generation, Prince Zuko has become just as iconic, which is really special, and I don't know. I don't know how it works. I'm just the bearer of good luck.
Zuko has, I reckon, one of the most interesting story arcs out of any character, any villain, or really in a kids show. In that, essentially, I mean, he's more compelling than Aang. Is that he starts out as this guy who's chasing the hero, and then essentially becomes like what, the leader of this awesome. Spoilers.
It's true. Spoiler. Hashtag spoiler.
Yeah. If you haven't watched Last Airbender, you should though.
And women love Zuko. It's weird.
Really? It's the scar.
It's the bad boy thing, and it's very strange where you're like, this girl's in love with my voice. I literally get like stuff in my inbox on Tumblr and on Twitter all the time. Like, they're like, I want to have sex with your voice.
Just the voice? Just
I don't understand.
How does that work?
I'm not sure how it works. I just say, I'm flattered. Maybe the wink emoji. Just, I mean, emoji. I don't know.
Have you considered then maybe like a series of audiobooks or something?
I know.
Reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
That's how powerful that character is. Like, people just are in love with that character and like the voice. I don't understand. I don't know how. Mm. I'm still dumbfounded as we speak about it right now.
I'm telling you, there's a market in that though, for sure.
What do you do? You're just like, thank you. Someone today was like, you have a very handsome voice. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Have you ever been recognized while, like, maybe you were doing, like, you know, calling up your...
Yes.
Calling up a mechanic or something?
It happens most of the time when you're at a coffee shop, like in America, you go to Starbucks, and someone's on the, you know, the person's on the register, and you go, can I get a hazelnut macchiato, and they go, are you Prince Zuko? And you're like, yes, I am. That happens
then
a lot.
Then do they write it on your coffee?
Yeah, then you get Zuko. People are like, Zuko, and then they get really, then you take a selfie with them, and then, you know, then you get a free hazelnut macchiato.
I mean, do you, I mean, your voice is obviously very famous and people really engage with it. Are there voices that you are inspired by or that you're a massive fan of in your work?
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate as voice acting has come into my career in the last decade or so to work with some of the best voice actors in the industry. And so, yeah, I've been able to work with beasts of actors like from Kevin Michael Richardson to Dee Bradley Baker to Grey DeLisle to John DiMaggio and these kind of guys are like, whoa, to... you know, Mark Hamill, these kind of cats where you're just like sitting there and you're just in awe of the work they do.
And in that working environment, is it a situation where you're in the same room as them or is it a lot of the time you're by yourself?
Yeah, you're in the same room as them and you really get to, you act with them, interact with them, and you get to like sit there and feel inadequate. You know, I'm just inadequate sitting here.
Because, yeah. I mean, like people who haven't watched Avatar might not know, but Mark Hamill actually plays your dad.
Right, plays my father, which is pretty amazing. And our relationship, for people that don't know the show, is very much like Luke and Darth Vader. Like, he scars me, kind of like cutting off, you know, Luke's hand.
Yeah.
The first time I met him, we did the scene where he does that, and I'm in the line, I'm literally saying, no, father, to him. And I'm looking at Luke Skywalker like, this is... surreal. Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, how do you find, like, because you're also a film and television actor, like, moving between those two modes? I mean...
Well, you know, I don't know, as an actor in L.A., there's, like, many facets of acting. Of course, there's film and television, which everyone goes for, but there's obviously commercials and hosting and modeling, and then another facet is voice acting, so... just in my career, voice acting opened up. I do a lot of poetry in LA and spoken word, and I think they're doing some campaigns for Sprite and Nike and whatnot. My voice was like, oh, he's a cool voice, and I think that's how it happened. At the same time, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
I've been pretty lucky, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like, just in the last few days, there's been a bit of talk online about this like voice acting strike that might be happening.
Oh, yeah, there's a big voice acting strike going on.
Yeah, like, what's your take on that whole thing?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I mean, this is the thing. I'm not... I mean, I'm actually learning more about it here because I have some really great voice actors here with us. Olivia Hack is here in town, and Todd Haberkorn is in the audience tonight. And we've been talking about some of the issues. So there's votes going on, and I'm like, should I vote yes or no? How does this work? but it's true. The reality is, like everything in Hollywood, they go, well, you know, the franchise matters, right? And not the actors, not the people coming in. And what we're trying to balance it out is like, you know, there's some actors with a lot of leverage and a lot of big fan bases that certain voice actors do matter. And how do we kind of make a fair thing? You know, it's like, of course, we've all done games that have made no money. Like, we've done movies that made no money. Then we've also done games that have made hundreds of millions of dollars. And so... you know, the actors should share the spoils as much as the production house and whatnot.
Mm. What do you think about the gaming industry as like as a form of acting work or as a sort of a realm of...
The gaming industry is really the next... It is Hollywood. You know, it's what you're finding out is, I think last year or 2 years ago is the first year that gaming has made more money than Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a really big thing, and Hollywood knows that. And you can see how it's happening, how it's merging. It's a part of the multimedia thing going on where movies are being created off IP, intellectual property, from games. And so everyone in Hollywood is scrounging, including myself. I write and produce these days that we're developing movies and television shows. I'm pitching a show around the video game world and esports world, but also creating new IP that start up as games because it's a money thing. It's like Hollywood, right? So this is basically how you look at it. The biggest films of all time, you know, you may have $100 million weekend, maybe, right? No one does Grand Theft Auto $1 billion weekends. There's no movie that does that. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like those games that just make their budget back on day one.
Right.
Yeah.
But just like Hollywood, just like Hollywood is a small percentage of the games, you know, maybe 10%, 15% make 95% of the money. And that's the same thing in Hollywood films. So it's really, it's just an extended multimedia. It's
yeah. Like
film, television, video games is part of the entertainment machine that we're doing now.
Mm. Now, just on the note of games, are you yourself a bit of a gamer?
I am a gamer, but I play one game.
And that game?
I only play League of Legends.
There we go.
Yeah, but I play a lot of League of Legends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm level 30 and stuff. I don't play rank. I'm kind of scared of rank. Should I play rank? I'm like a big, like, I don't know, I've been playing a lot lately. Like, I was telling you guys that I found myself like a crack addict in the middle of the night in Brisbane in an internet cafe because my hotel internet was horrible.
Oh, I'm sure it was much. Australian internet is just top notch.
It's horrible.
Best in the world.
Even in the internet cafe, which usually if you pay for in an internet cafe in America, like your ping is super low. It's like, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. I was like, use like 45 or something, like really low. My ping in the internet cafe was like, almost 300, like 280.
Jeez.
It's crazy. But I know. How's that possible? But whatever. I'm up in there playing League of Legends. The place is packed, mind you. And there's about three quarters.
That's because they've already paid. They can't afford
yeah,
to leave.
Yeah, people are playing. And it's just was crazy. But I'm playing League of Legends on the North American account. On North American servers. Maybe I'm also playing on the North American servers.
Yeah, but like that's mostly what we have to play on too.
Really? it's you guys good. Don't play. What's the Oceanic? I was like, what's Oceanic?
Oh, I don't know. I don't.
Who
play.
Plays on the?
I didn't play the League.
What server? I don't even know where I'm at. I'm like, what server am I supposed to be on?
You had game of jet lag. That's what
yes,
called.
Yes.
Oceanic is for League of Legends players on boats out in the sea between us and
yeah.
Right.
It's a pretty underground league, but it's a lot
super
of...
Super
giant. It's a giant oil rig, actually. You go out there and some underground League of Legends playing. It's crazy.
Yes, but I got addicted. I started playing, and then I realized, you know, it's like an hour a game, on average, 45 minutes a game. And you play like four games a night, and you're like, all of a sudden, you're in trouble.
All of a sudden, you go, shit, I've got to get to bonus
yeah,
stage.
Like, I'm not doing my life right now.
Now, Dante, before you go, we would like to... We would feel like we hadn't got the full Dante Basco experience if we didn't get you to do a couple of lines as Zuko.
But we're very conscious. We're very conscious that it's something you would get asked to do a lot. So
okay.
We thought, instead of getting you to do lines of Prince Zuko, we get you to do lines of Danny Zuko from the film Grease.
Of course. I love it.
As Prince Zuko. So
when I actually auditioned for the movie for the show the first time, I said, you know, I did say, what's kind of Zuko? Is it like Danny Zuko? Because in hindsight, like Danny Zuko's like, John Travolta playing Danny Zuko is probably one of the characters of the reason why I became an actor, for sure. So.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow. So what lines you got? Let's do
Sunrise,
it.
Sunrise, sunset. All right.
So, Ray, do you want to be Sandy in this scenario?
Why not?
This is awesome.
Do I have to do all the stage directions?
I can read the stage directions, or you could try and just do it in your voice, I guess, because we'll see if we can get the...
I'll do the stage directions. It'll make it better.
So, we're just starting with line one.
Let's go line one.
Yeah.
I'm going to find and capture the Avatar. It's the last thing I do.
Zuko, what are you talking about?
That's Prince Zuko to you.
What's the matter with you? What happened to that Zuko I met at the beach? A sweet young firebender who believed in peace and doing the right thing.
I do not know, baby. Maybe he was frozen in a block of ice 100 years ago or something, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
You're a fake and a phony, Prince Zuko, and you'll never catch the Avatar.
Sandy, wait! Pretty good. That was pretty good. I was telling a blonde-haired Australian guy I met recently that, you know, Greece has made, half the world, and especially Americans, like, obsessed with, like blonde-haired Australian girls. It's like Olivia Newton-John in Greece single-handedly put Australia on the map. In America.
Yeah, we were very sure. adamant about putting we're ourselves like, on the map for a long time before that. But
it's we're like Greece, Sandy, and then you find out like she wasn't even supposed to be Australian. You know, you watch the play and you're like, oh, it's Sandra Dee, like in the 50s.
Yeah.
Like, she's just a terrible actress.
It has nothing to nothing to do with an Australian girl. You're like, how did they do this?
Yeah.
They brainwashed us.
They're playing around with our minds, that's for sure. So there's two more there. We got some solo lines for you.
Solo lines. I got chills. They're multiplying. And I'm losing control. Because the power you're supplying. What does that say? Oh, it's just what I need to capture the avatar once and for all. I like that. It's automatic. It's hydromatic. Well, it's the only way I can restore my honor in the eyes of my father. Thank you.
Well, Dante Bosco, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been
Cheers.
An absolute
Thank
pleasure
you guys.
To have you. Thanks so much. Give it up, guys. Dante Bosco.
I'm so glad that you gave me the opportunity to use my skills as a professional film and television actor.
Yeah. So you didn't need to read the stage directions. We got it.
Oh, guys, how exciting was that?
Yeah.
Well, our next guest isn't your typical guest for a video game show, wouldn't you say, Ben?
He's the co-deputy leader of the Greens Party, and he's damn well fighting his hardest to make sure that Australian games get a look in terms of funding, and just that there's a future for them. So let's welcome to the stage Senator Scott Ludlam.
Scott, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
You wouldn't believe this, Scott, but you are the first Australian senator we have had on the show.
I know.
We keep petitioning Brandis to come, but he's much like Basco. He's always League of Legends in it.
I think he was playing in a Call of Duty tournament just recently, and he couldn't make it, which was a real bummer.
I do not want to visualise that. Anyway, thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic to have you on. It is really fantastic.
Do I have to read from that, or is that just you guys?
No.
These guys.
They come across as really funny. They're just reading a thing. It's all bullshit. They're just reading.
Scott, stick to the script.
Now the whole audience has discovered that we've got an auto cue. 8 bonus stages we've had. No one looked.
People would know that if it was scripted, Carla wouldn't make as many mistakes.
But, you know, take a wish hanging on that wishing tree, Ben.
But, like, Scott, like, it has been a really interesting sort of just a few weeks of feedback. People saying, you know, first of all, it's weird. Wow, why are you having a politician on a gaming show? Which I found interesting that, like, the idea of politics and gaming existing in the same world seems so foreign to people. Yeah. Do you think is that part of the problem, that games just aren't really on any sort of political agenda in a big way?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you think it's weird that I'm here, you can tell me why. I wouldn't want to have theories about that. But, it feels as though they occupy two completely different worlds. And there was some progress made, give the former government its due. And then, obviously, that progress got killed off. And now it feels like not only are we back where we started, we're maybe even further behind them than back then.
And I know for a lot of gamers, Scott, you are, for many people, really the only advocate that many people feel is out there for video games and their funding and in the wider world in terms of politics. There's not really any dialogue outside of your office on this.
Well, that is amazingly sweet, and it's a lovely thing to say, but this feels like really early days. We haven't actually delivered anything yet, so getting the inquiry afoot is really good. It's a good start, but we don't have any money for you yet. Like, this is
this is very awkward, Scott, because I brought all my games to be developed tonight.
Was that back rubbing one yours?
Yeah. What do you think, Scott? Do you think it has legs?
It's not fucking helping, actually. No, I feel as though we do have a long way to travel, but it's a good start. But anyway, thanks for the invite.
And so, submissions just closed the other week for the public. Have you had a chance to look through any of that at all?
Yeah, I've started. We could do a bit of a shame job. Hands up if you didn't make a submission yet. I can't even.
Everybody submitted.
Did everyone here submit? I don't believe all of you. I know at least three of you that didn't.
It's really unlikely. Anyway,
I definitely did.
You still can. So we're not. I don't think people are going to be completely uptight about the deadline and stuff. And there's some really. I was just skimming through the industry association's submission on the way through, which I think some people in the audience helped put together, and it's fantastic. It's a great snapshot. So that has already helped. There's 104 people or individuals or studios who've taken the time to put that together. We've now got a really up-to-date 2015 snapshot of where the industry's at.
Because there's some interesting statistics, and quite shocking in a lot of ways, on what has happened in particularly the Australian gaming industry since the loss of funding administered by Screen Australia last year.
It's terrifying. And the industry is a third the size in terms of employment of what it was in 2007. So the global financial crisis hit and smashed us. The high dollar really hurt people who were working for overseas studios. And then, all of the work that got done, probably by some people in this room, to get a tiny little pot of money together, it actually watered the ground a little bit. And it lasted 1 year and then they killed it. So I got to visit the arcade in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago. Some folks here. Which was really gorgeous. They gave me a couple of hours and some amazing stuff. But I came out of it thinking, this is kind of like a fallout shelter. Like, this is where the survivors went after the great wipeout. And they're just kind of bunkered down in there waiting until it's safe to come out again. And there's some amazing stuff going on in there. Is there something like that here in Sydney that I can have a look around to?
There's some really exciting stuff here.
A great event that comes to mind is Beer and Pixels, which is on every month. A lot of people here go to, which is basically just a hub for the community to go and show off any games they're working on, and that's gotten really big now. There's 200 people or something every month. But yeah, it does have a bit of that feeling, like that's where everyone goes to hide from the government
in a good way. In a good way.
But
it had that kind of. This is where the survivors went. And so we can do a lot better than that. You kind of take a look at what's going on around the world. We can do so much better than that. But it's going to be remarkable, actually, when this cohort of crew who actually have managed to survive get some proper support in an industry sense or in an investment sense, or if it's tax concessions or however we manage to pull it off, it's going to be remarkable to see all that innovation walk out the door and sprout and grow. It's going to be really something to see.
Yeah, there's extraordinary innovation in the industry. I mean, even just the game we were looking at earlier with Ray, in terms of hearing, they predict that they could get that to every Australian student for something like $200 million, which is a fraction of the cost that they think it will cost. A very small fraction of the cost of what hearing problems have to our GDP, which is something like in the realm of billions.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that one before. I think that's a really good example of, if we can demo that to some of the other MPs who will be on the committee, that'll be like, okay, what you thought games was isn't what you thought it was, so watch this. So I'm hoping that we don't just do this by way of submissions, that we can actually take the committee to some places. Maybe we'll try and get to the arcade, or we'll try and get to some places where they can see stuff. I want to drop headsets over their heads, mainly because I want to go. and mostly I want to bust open the idea of some of the stereotypes of what games are, and what they can do these days is so much broader.
I think that applause proves it. Like, that's something that gamers have been feeling a long time.
Do they have a screen that just says applaud? Or...
No, we've trained them to do that over a series of months.
And these guys have been so patient sitting back here. I feel like we should just chip along. So sorry.
They're all right. They've been fed. They're good.
We won't.
They're used to it.
We won't be long. You're welcome.
And now, what about you, Scott? Because I know it's been, you've obviously been busy with all this important government work to do and stuff. But you are a gamer as well. Is that correct? Would that be a fair...
I am going to show my age here, but I can remember when my dad... What is that? Is that a Robert Ludlum joke coming up? You shouldn't...
D- Don't ignore that. That was optional.
That is so much bullshit. Okay. When my dad bought into the house, the first Pong game, on would you turn your television into a gaming... Don't laugh. This is my childhood. With the thing, and it does the thing between the bats. We were absolutely blown away by it. And we got a Commodore 64 and then graduated to an Amiga and then started fooling around with PCs and stuff. Life recently has kind of wiped out opportunity. I can see the stuff that's being produced that is extraordinary and the things that I know I will never have the remotest chance of playing. So that's a bit sad, actually. Mm.
Is that kind of what you're hoping with this inquiry? That now you can just be like, guys, I've got to do a lot of research. That's next right. Fortnight, I've just got it. This game, Metal Gear Solid 5.
This is going to take quite a bit of time. You play this right to way to the end and just actually see how it works. That's how we're going to learn about the industry.
And the DLC, all that downloadable content, got to do that as well.
What do you think the last game that you played was, Scott, if you can remember?
By way of research, I was playing... we played a bit of Grand Theft Auto and a little bit of whatever... What's the pirate thing, the Johnny Depp thing?
Pirates of the Caribbean?
No, not that.
Assassin's Creed?
Thank you. One of those, and that was not terribly fun, actually. And I really love the look of...
Have I said
a bad thing? I'm sorry if I offended anybody.
No. Only Ubisoft, but they've already left.
After what you guys did to them. Nothing I could say could ruin their night further than what you guys did. And Cities Sky, because I'm a complete Cities nerd, so that Skylines thing looks tremendous fun.
Oh, yeah.
Have you played that? Is it actually as good as it looks? Okay, there are the Cities nerds out there. That's so great.
Is that still fun, a game that basically is about city management when you're essentially in a government role? Like, would you play... How would you feel about Minecraft? A lot of mining in that game.
And the Greens hate mining. Because we hate the economy. Yeah. You said this would be fun.
I didn't realise I had old Ben O'Brien, old backwards old Brian.
I'm sorry. on the subject of games, we did have something that we wanted to run by you, because I think a lot of people, especially people in this room, probably wish that you or someone like you was in charge of funding games, you know. So we thought we would see, potentially, if we read some game ideas out to you... Whether you'd give them a pass or a fail.
Okay, let's try it out.
All right.
And these are all legit. We haven't made any of these up.
Oh, okay. No. 100% all legit.
Stop reading the auto cue.
Definitely don't read the auto cue. All right. Game number one. Hunter Man. In a utopian future where supplies are plentiful and people want for nothing, you play the character of John Hunterman, a hero who hunts and kills a variety of rare wildlife and occasionally his fellow human beings for pure sport. Would you fund that game?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Dick, John, your game, it's getting funded. All right. All mine. In this game, you have to find special black gems in the ground.
Isn't it amazing what those little black gems can do?
Digging them up gives you points. Once you dig them all up, you don't win the game, but the game is over.
And then all the lights go out.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, okay.
We've made the right decisions, though.
How much money do I have? Can I fund all of them? I'm funding... That one sounds great.
Okay. All right. That's fun. Unlimited money, because you got all of the coal. Last one, Reign of Evil. Your country is ruled by a cruel dictator. It's your goal to rally the people and overthrow the tyrant.
I'm getting a bit triggered, actually. I don't know.
You have to overthrow the tyrant using a nearly 200-year-old democratic parliamentary system. That's a funded.
Very well played. No, it sounds like shit. Who is going to want to play that? either in a game or in real life.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Scott, and having a look at our game ideas.
All right, we'll fund that one as well.
Yes!
Well, guys, that brings us to the end of another exciting show. Thank you so much for coming along. 8 shows. It is crazy, but we're here somehow. Seven?
It's seven.
7 shows, guys. So crazy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
A big thank you to our guests for tonight's show.
Yeah, let's start the applause going for Scott Ludlam, Ray Johnson, Dante Basco, also everybody up there, Seton K. Smith as Mad Max, Waluigi and Wario, Will Rimya, everybody in our sketches, friends, Blake, Arcee, whole bunch of ladies, everybody here at the theatre, Christian, Toby, oh, it's so great. Stick around, guys, we've got heaps of indie games. We'll see you guys next time. It's going to be awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to ever see the show live, you can book tickets at the Giant Dwarf website. We're on the last Wednesday of every month, and it's a lot of fun. People come along, watch the show, and afterwards we play games and have a selection of indie developers that come along and bring their stuff. So there's games, drinking, music. It's a lot of laughs. So come along. Hope to see you there.